1 Samuel, when he was a very young boy, was asleep at night in a room next door to the high priest where he was sleeping. And a voice woke him up, and he thought it was the high priest, so he went into the high priest's room and woke him up, and he said, "What did you want?" And the high priest said, "I didn't say anything. Go back to sleep." So he goes back to bed, goes back to sleep. He hears that voice again. It wakes him up. He goes into the high priest, and the high priest said, "I'm not talking to you. Go back to sleep." So he goes back the third time, and he hears the voice, and he comes into the priest, and the priest said, suddenly realized it was God speaking to that young man. And so he said, "You go back, and the next time you hear that voice, you say, 'I'm your servant, Lord,' and so forth." And the young boy did, and God gave him a whole lot of information, which the priest should have been hearing.
That's right.
But he wasn't open to hearing from God at that particular time. And so he spoke to that little boy, and God speaks to children.
That's right.
God's probably spoke to you when you were a child about something. If nothing else, that he existed. But sometimes we're not trained to hear the voice of God, so therefore we don't realize it's God, and you can shut it off just like this. You can shut that off. And we always think it's going to be some big booming voice out of the sky that God's just going to speak to you, and he said, "All right, down there, shape up." And that's kind of the idea we have. But that's usually not the way God speaks. And I'm going to begin to tell you this morning how he does. I want you to look in the Old Testament to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. Now, I'm going to read through this because it's extremely important. And so I want you to get what's going on here. Okay, 1 Kings 19. And Abraham told Jezebel all about what Elijah had done and how he'd slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "Go let the gods do to me and more also if I do not take your life and the life of the one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and really fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Now this was Elijah the prophet. And he requested for himself that he might die. You ever get in that kind of shape? You just say, "Lord, I'd like to die." How many were honest and say they've been at that place? Okay, that's a lot of us. And so he requested that he might die of the Lord. And so, and he said, "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Now, number one, we find out that sometimes angels speak to us.
That's right.
I'm talking about everybody. It wasn't because he was a prophet.
That's right.
Angels speak the words of God. And so an angel came to him and he said unto him, "Arise and eat." And look, there was a cake baked on the coals and cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because your journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came there into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Now, I want you to know what's going on here with Elijah is the normal Christian life. This should be normal for every single one of us. And he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, slain your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount of the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After that, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now that's usually the way God speaks. A still small voice. Usually the only way you're going to hear his voice is if you're quiet and the things around you are quiet. Not always the case, but most of the time, this is the way God speaks. In a very small, soft, quiet voice. And so Elijah heard it, wrapped his face in the mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, and he goes on again about how jealous he is and so on. And the Lord said, oh, get out of this cave and get moving, because I have work for you to do. And so the reason that God didn't take his life, God didn't answer that prayer, is because he had work to do for Elijah. Elijah would be taken up to be with the Lord when God was through with him. I said Elijah would be taken up to the Lord when God was through with him. And so will you and I.
That's right.
We kind of look at these people like, well, there they were back there, and what's that got to do with me? It's got everything to do with you and I. Because as long as God has something to do for you, you'll be alive and you'll be strong. And so the issue is that we need to be listening to the Lord on a daily basis. And I'm not going to say that he could speak to you every day, but I think God's speaking every day. And the most of the time, I'm going to say again, he speaks in a very quiet voice. I noticed something about the devil. He's very loud. He has to be. It gets your attention, I suppose. But the fact is that God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to me. It's no different than it was back in 1 Kings. It's no different than it was with Samuel. Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. Jesus was constantly listening to the Father so that he would speak with the words of the Father. Now, it's really interesting. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you see what I'm doing, that's what you're supposed to be doing. And so Jesus was speaking to them the word of God. I don't think he wasted his time speaking about a lot of things that was not the word of God. And so he spoke to the disciples the word of God. And what were they supposed to do? Take that word and speak it to somebody else. So we're to usually hear the word of God, but sometimes it's for us personally, and sometimes it's to tell somebody else. As we've had this morning already. And so you need to be listening to God now, because God may tell you something in this service that you are to do while this service is happening, or at the end of the service, or even at the dinner afterwards. God may tell you to tell somebody something, or he may be telling you something personally for your life that's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or some other time. So it's normal for Christians to hear the voice of God. But unfortunately, if we're not trained into this, we don't really know how to do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. I've been talking about how to be an overcomer in the kingdom of God. If you don't hear from God, you're not going to be an overcomer. Because you can't be, because you're not going to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be obedient to the Lord. So our eternal position with Christ depends on how we hear with God now in this life. And don't think he just speaks to the preacher. He wants to speak to you. And if all you do is hear what I say, you're going to miss some things from God. Are you listening? Now, I don't want anybody to miss anything. That's why I'm teaching these things that I'm teaching right this minute. Now, I'm going to tell you just real quick four keys to hearing from God, how to recognize the voice of God. God's voice is kind of just spontaneous thoughts in your mind that just kind of light in your mind. Now, the point I want to tell you is that every thought you have is not yours.
That's right.
We get the idea that every thought originates from us and it comes from us, but that is not true according to the Bible. The Bible says that Satan can put thoughts in your mind. So some of your thoughts would be from Satan. I don't care if you're Billy Graham or who you are. Some of your thoughts would be from Satan. Some of your thoughts would be from yourself, and some of your thoughts would be from God. And we need to know the difference, you see, because if we don't, we're going to follow the wrong information. Some people think every thought they have is their idea, and it came from them, and so on. And if you follow every thought you have, you're going to be a mess. Because I find out that many times when I'm going to pray, when I'm praying or want to pray or I'm reading my Bible, I'll get some thought because Satan knows my weaknesses and he'll throw the thought of my weaknesses right into my mind while I'm praying or while I'm reading the Word of God. And I got a word from Satan while I was reading the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Anybody ever had that experience? Quite a few hands are going up. But the idea, if you think that's your thought, then you're going to be discouraged. You're going to put your Bible down. You're going to give it up. Because usually he'll put a temptation in your mind, the one that he knows will push your button. You see. And you'll say, boy, I must be an awful person to get this thought in my mind while I'm reading the Bible. I just must be a terrible person. And that thing came from the devil in the first place. And if you don't entertain it in your mind, if you say, I refuse that thought in the name of Jesus, and get right back into the Word of God, then he will have done his work, and it worked in your life for that particular time. Are you listening to me? So it's not unusual to get some weird thought. You're going to go to the hospital to pray for somebody, and all of a sudden you start getting this weird stuff in your mind. Satan's trying to mess you up. Every thought that you get in your mind is not from you. It's either from the devil or it's from God. And you have to know the difference because you have to refuse the thoughts of the devil. You can refuse a thought in your mind. I'm not going to receive that thought, and you go right on with other things. You don't have to receive every thought in your mind because it doesn't all come from you. And people are not taught this, and so they don't understand that you could be having a conversation in your head with Satan and not realize who it is. Mm-hmm. And people do that all the time, even Christians. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Devil can't hurt me. He can't put anything in my mind. How is the devil going to put something in my mind? Because your mind is neutral territory, and the battle for Christians is in the mind. If you win the mind game, you have won. And people don't understand that. When you're saved in your spirit, not in your mind. That's where they get messed up. They say, well, I'm a Christian, so everything I think must be either from me or God, and that's not so. I keep saying you're saved in your spirit at salvation, and it takes a lifetime to be saved in your soul. That's what the Bible says, and people have no idea. And so we're in the process of being saved in your soul. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven if you died. That's not it. If you're saved in your spirit, you're going to heaven. But this, the rest of the life we live, God's in the process of saving our soul. And part of it is knowing where the thoughts came from in your mind. You ever come up to the side of a cliff and you're kind of afraid of heights anyway, and you get this feeling you want to jump off? Anybody ever have that?
Yep.
Quite a few. You think that came from God?
No.
You think that came from yourself? I really doubt it. I really doubt it. Because the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. So every thought that you get in your mind that steal, killing, or destroy came from where? The devil. But the devil wants you to think it's you and you're such a bad person because you have these awful thoughts and you get all discouraged and you say the Christian life doesn't work. Well, the Christian life works. We just don't know how to work it. You see. And so what I'm telling you today is so important. I hope you're going to get this because it's going to make a difference in your Christian life. Don't believe every thought you get in your mind. And if you get some thought about some person, you know, you stay away from that person, you know how they are, and you start all this stuff up, where do you think that came from? Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Satan. Built up in Christ, blessing of eternal life, the plan of God for you comes from God. And then we have our own thoughts. So there's a lot of voices out there. And you know, I find something very interesting. I usually hear from God when it's quiet around me. I used to tell this, I usually hear from God when if I don't have the radio on and everything else. To be honest with you, a lot of times in the morning I listen to our station because I like what's on there. But sometimes I need to turn that off because I need to hear from God. And a lot of times, I always say this, I hear from God a lot of times when I'm shaving in the morning. If I don't have a lot of noise going on and my mind is kind of neutral there because I know how to shave. I've done it a couple of times. And it's just a routine thing I do. But you're going to find out when you're in a quiet situation doing a routine thing, that's when God will speak. And he speaks in a still, small voice. And I know already when I'm teaching this that some people are feeling like, well, he doesn't speak to me. What's wrong with me? I'm going to tell you, he is speaking to you. You're just not hearing it. God speaks to every single person that belongs to him, probably on a daily basis. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm going to give you four things here, and I'm going to teach these in the next few weeks. Number one, recognize that the voice of God usually is like a thought that lights in your mind. That's number one. Number two, we need to have quiet times so we can hear from God. Whether it's our first thing in the morning, some people get up early just to hear from God, get in the Word of God. That's a good habit to get into. I think it's great. Some people are night persons. The morning thing doesn't work. Do it at night before you go to bed. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off the CD. Turn off all of this stuff. Get into the Word of God and then listen to what God may put in your mind because that's the way he will speak to you. Are you listening to me? If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
This is very important. What you do, you try to get a quiet situation. You get into the Word of God. He doesn't always do it that way, but you get into the Word of God and then you listen. And just let the thoughts of God come into your mind and listen to what God says. Now, if it's not killing, stealing, and destroying, it's either from you or God. And you know when it's from God and you. You know, should know the difference. I was working in this place. I talked about this one time, and this had nothing to do with the fact I'm pastoring a church. It had to do between me and God, or God and I, however you want to say it. And I was just walking down the aisle of this place where I was working, and all of a sudden I hear this voice that said, "Jerry, I love you." And I looked around, and there wasn't anybody there. And I took a few more steps, and I heard this voice say, "Jerry, I love you." And then I realized it was God. And I said, "I love you too, Lord." And that's all he wanted to tell me at the time. Don't you know, hallelujah, I was walking and springing my step after that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I needed that. I needed that, Lord. Thank you. And he doesn't always say some big profound thing, although that's pretty profound. That's just that one time. There's been other times when suddenly I'll be out somewhere and God said, I get this thought in my mind, go to a certain place, which I wasn't going to, and I realized that's the Lord, you see. And so it's God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. But are you listening to him? Do you expect him to speak to you? Most Christians do not. They expect the pastor to hear it so he can tell you all this stuff and you can fill up a bunch of notebooks, which probably are going to do you no good.
That's right.
Are you listening? We need a personal word from God. The example of a relationship of a Christian and the Lord is marriage. It should be that closer. Should be closer, actually. Now, some of you may have a bad thing in your mouth about marriage, but the thing is, I'm just saying it's supposed to be that close. Jesus said, he was talking about marriage in Ephesians, and then right at the end of it, he said, I'm talking about the Lord and the church. I thought he was talking about husband and wife, talking about loving each other and the wife responding to the husband and the husband loving the wife and all this kind of stuff. And then down at the bottom, he says, by the way, I'm talking about Christ and the church. You see. Now, we're just getting into this. Number two was quiet yourself so you can hear God's voice. You know, Christians always talk about having a quiet time and having a quiet time. A lot of people talk about it. Very few do it, to be honest with you. And the point is, if it's noisy around you all the time, you got TVs going and radios going and music playing, and you get in the car and you got the music playing, you got CDs playing, you get to work and it's noisy, and all that noise, if you're in all that noise all the time, then you won't have to worry about hearing from God. You probably won't, you see, because it's the quiet times. You know, the real intimate times with a husband and wife are in the quiet times. Amen? That's right. It's in the quiet times. When everything settles down, you get by yourself somewhere and you have a conversation and you set out at night and look at the sky and have a conversation. And that's the real intimate times, and you hear each other and you can share each other and share your heart and all of that. And that's what you want to know. Now, the third thing is, in that quiet time, is to listen to God, and sometimes he will give you a vision of some kind. A vision is a daytime dream. You're not asleep. It's like a dream when you're sleeping. A vision is a daytime dream where you see something. He'll show you something. Now, we have people here that listen to God in a particular way, and we already had one this morning. The vision was a hand that had the knuckles and everything were all swollen up, and the word arthritis was there. And so that person, who happened to be Ken, was listening to God. And God said, if that person will raise their hands, move their fingers in praise and worship, they'll be healed right that minute. Now, I don't know who that was. He doesn't either. But it was somebody here, and if you were obedient during the praise and the worship, I'm sure you're healed. You see, he got a picture of that hand, and that's called visions. And expect to see visions, you see. And then, last thing, it's a good idea to write down what God says. They call that journaling. Have a little notebook, and write down what God says and keep those things, because you'll find over a period of time, well, God said something, it came to pass. You will find that out, so write it down. So these four things. Number one, realize that God's voice is like just a continuous word that comes into your mind. Somebody said lights on your mind like a bird on a tree limb. And birds fly away very quickly at noise. Birds fly away very quickly when everything becomes confusion around you and around them. And it's the same way with the Word of God. It's a very quiet voice usually, and it comes in lights, and it can easily be gone. Secondly, quiet yourself so you can hear the Word of God. Third, look for a vision as you pray. Look for pictures in your mind. Sometimes God speaks in pictures of things. And then number four, write them down. Write down those things. Okay. Now, last time I talked about Christians are in three categories. They're either hot, they're cold, or lukewarm. The worst one's lukewarm. God said they're the worst to talk to. The lukewarm Christians are the worst ones to hear God's voice because they're not serious about God in the first place, and they're not going to hear the voice of God. Now, what does God's voice sound like? What's it sound like? I'm going to talk about that a little bit. God speaks in several ways, and we need to recognize God's voice, which when it comes to your mind. Now, God speaks basically in a couple of ways. Number one, he speaks through the Bible, the written word of God. That's called the Logos, L-O-G-O-S, Logos, written word of God. And then he speaks. Some people think that's the only way he speaks, and they really, some people worship the Bible. We're supposed to be worshiping the Lord. Don't worship the Bible. The Bible is God's word to you in written form. He also speaks in what is called the Rhema of God. The Rhema of God is the spoken word of God. When God speaks to your mind. The Rhema, all of the Bible was Rhema at one time. It was spoken by God to men, and they wrote it down. And it was Rhema when it came to them, and it was Logos when they wrote it down. So God speaks particularly in those two ways, and that's probably the main ways he speaks to most people. Now, so he wants us, He wants us to read the Word of God, then pray and talk to him, and he may give you a Rhema Word of God, a spoken Word of God to him. Look at Psalm 119 and 105. 119 and 105 in the Psalms. All right. And this says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You all heard that before. But that's what he said. It's a lamp. It illuminates your life. The word illuminates your life so you can see where you're walking and you know the way of God. And that's what it says the word of God does. He's a light unto your path. He's going to show you the path of God. Now, God also guides, listen to me carefully now, he guides through advisors, counselors, pastors, teachers, parents, other people. If you put yourself under the authority that God put over you, that authority can occasionally speak the word of God whether they know it or not. And that's why it's important to be under those that God put in authority over you. It's good to have spiritual advisors. It's good to have spiritual counselors. People you can call up and say, I think this came from God. Would you pray about it? And that way you're not going to make a mistake. You're not going to get off the path. You're going to have somebody you can call up and say, I believe God said this to me. I want you to pray about it and see what you get. Because we need to have two or three spiritual advisors, somebody that's usually maybe a step higher with God than we are. Always have an advisor, somebody that knows a little bit more than you do, because and when you learn what they know, then God may give you a couple other counselors to lead you further. I found that out when I first got saved. I read a whole lot of books about salvation. And I loved them. God spoke to me. God blessed me. It was wonderful. But I got to the point I wanted to know more than just the salvation experience. So I started reading books on the Holy Spirit, reading books on God's gifts, and reading the Bible on those things because I wanted to expand what God could do in my life. And so what I'm giving you today is absolute basic information that you need to know if you're going to go on in the things of God. Now, God also speaks through circumstances. An example in the Bible is Jonah. God spoke to Jonah, said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm not going, and he took off in the other direction. Well, God did the weirdest thing. He was on a ship, and they ended up, the people on the ship threw him overboard. A great big fish swallowed him up. He was in that day, that fish, 3 days and three nights. What's that remind you of? Christ. 3 days and three nights on the cross. When Jesus wanted to talk about the cross, he talked about Jonah. What happened to Jonah in that fish? He died. And then the fish vomited him out on the shore. He was resurrected in the name of Jesus. Jesus gave that example for his death, burial, and resurrection. That was the circumstances. And when I'm telling you, when he came out of that fish and landed on the shore, he looked up to God and said, yes, sir, where are we going? He used circumstances. God used circumstances to get him to a place where he'd say, yes, Lord, I know where we're going here. Now, sometimes God speaks to us by our conscience. Our conscience, something he says either do or don't do. Sometimes he speaks that way. Sometimes he just puts pressure. You don't have any peace. You know something's wrong. Your nerves are a mess. Something's going on, and that's when you go to God and say, God, I must have got off the track here. Where am I going wrong? And you get in the Word, and you pray to God, and you listen to God. And don't you know, he might have somebody call you up, and God said this to me. Does this sound right for your life? Are you listening to me? God does all kinds of things like this. And you know, sometimes he speaks to prophets, and sometimes he speaks through visions and dreams. And sometimes he sends and gives a word by an angel. And you say, I know that happened in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? How about going to the book of Revelation, and you're going to find angels and demons and the devil and good angels and Christ and God, and you're going to find the whole thing there. It's the last book of the Bible. God is saying, if you didn't get it through all the other books, read this one. And And one of the greatest Bible teachers I ever heard didn't believe that angels did anything today. I couldn't believe it. I didn't believe that he believed that until one day I read something where he said, well, angels don't have anything to do. They were just in the Old Testament. I don't know. Must have tore Revelation out of his book, I guess. I don't know what happened. But everything that happens in the Bible can happen today. I mean, come on. It's the Word of God. And to say, well, you know, I'll listen to God through my Bible, but that's it. I'm not going to hear anything else. And you're going to be messed up when you stand before Jesus and try to explain that. Because you won't be able to. And you have to, you say, well, that stuff's too spooky for me. Well, it's not for God. And the issue is that God uses these things, and we have to have a spiritual discernment to know the difference of where this is coming from. Now, the point is, the Bible, the written Word of God, must be the foundation. You need to know it front to back. You need to know the stories of Jonah, know the stories of these other things. I had a TV guy come to my house, and I have a lot of pictures on the walls with Christ and various things in them, and I got one picture over the fireplace. It's Jesus pulling Peter up out of the water after he sunk, if you'll remember. And I didn't know if this guy was a Christian or not, and I didn't even have to ask him because he said, that's one of my favorite pictures. And I found out that he was a Christian, just moved to the area, doesn't have a church, so I invited him to church. And I found out he loved the Lord and all that kind of stuff just by a picture on the wall. I always say, if somebody came into your house, would they know you're a Christian? Well, anyway, God just speaks through pictures. He can speak through a picture on the wall. A guy got saved one time. He was in a church, and the seats were kind of went up like this, and it came down to the platform, and they were passing the offering plate, and somebody dropped the thing. This was an actual plate, an offering plate, and they dropped the thing, and the coins. Somebody put coins in there. Well, what could I say? But anyway, they come rolling down under the pews. And there was a guy sitting there who was the biggest tightwad in the history of the world. And he didn't know the Lord. And some of those coins come down and hit his shoe. And God spoke to him, now's the time to get saved. And he came forward and got saved. Just from coins rolling down the floor of a church. God can use the most amazing things. You got saved, that had to be amazing in the first place. I say you got saved, that was amazing, wasn't it? Amen. Me also. And so God can use anything. He can speak any way he wants to. And it's time for me to quit, and I haven't even got started. But the point is, I want you to know that God wants to speak to you. And I would like for you this week to give God a few opportunities to speak. Get quiet somewhere. Get the Word of God. Read some things. And then speak to God. Pray to him, and just let thoughts come into your mind. If they're steal, kill, and destroy, it's the devil. If it's about something else that would, the worldly thing, it's probably you. But if it's something else that has to do with the Lord, that's God speaking to you. Yes, ma'am.
Mammogram in 3 or 4 years. go get a mammogram. So I thought, ugh, forget that one. And I just kept working along, and it was, go get a mammogram, go get a mammogram, go get a mammogram. I got a mammogram, and I have breast cancer. And they said it was as small as a pin dot. And that was the Lord saving my life.
So God's, and that was rather probably loud. That wasn't real quiet, probably.
I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah. Sometimes he'll do that. But most of the time when God speaks, it's a very quiet, soft voice. And if you don't listen, it just flies away. And you say, well, why would God do that? He knows you're going to listen or not. Yes, ma'am.
I had something happen just a couple weeks ago. I can't remember exactly what it was. But the point was I was driving somewhere and there was like a detour. And it was not a familiar place anyway. So I'm like, okay, I know I go here. I go, you know, so you come to the detour and I'm kind of, we're all kind of panic a little bit.
Yes.
Because if I don't know where I'm at, I don't like that. And it was as if I said, okay, God, what do I do now? And I heard his little turn left. Now, I don't think that was me because I'm not a direction type person normally. And it was like, okay, so I turned left. And then I realized that was perfect. Thank you, Lord. Right away, I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm
thank
like,
you, Lord.
God.
Yes.
Who else can it be? I don't think that was me.
Yes.
It certainly wasn't the enemy.
Yes.
Just something little like that, even.
Yeah.
You know, just to get me where I needed to go.
Amen. Somebody else had their hand up. Who was it? Didn't they? Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. You had bad dreams, and then God gave you a good dream. Amen. There you go. I tell you, God speaks to kids. God speaks to kids. He loves it. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Well, we just got started on this subject, but it's probably one of the most important subjects you'll ever hear. How do you know the voice of God? Let's stand before the Lord. Elders, come. Jim, come on down.